Zdaj, kaj pa je to?
Ja, kultivator.
Gre za neko vrsto apatije.
To lahko reče samo kreten, noben drug.
Socialni invalid in ga je nemogoče urejati.
Drugi kandidat.
Pa pije, kadi, masturbira, vse kako ni človeka počne. Nihče tega ne ve.
Vsak petek skultiviramo dogodek tedna.
Lahko po kriterijih Radio Študent, težko pa po evropskih kriterijih.
Ampak na drug način, kot vi to mislite.
Kultivator vedno užge.
Da pač nekdo sploh omenja probleme, ki so, in da pač sploh nekdo sproži dogajanje v družbi.
To drži. Drži.
So gruzijske sanje res sanje gruzicev? Pred slabim tednom dni, natančneje preteklo soboto, so v Gruziji potekale parlamentarne volitve. Na njih je 54% glasov ponovno slavila vladajoča stranka Gruzijske sanje, s čimer si je zagotovila 89 stolčkov v 150 članskem parlamentu. Opozicijske stranke, ki so naklonjene Evropski uniji, so si skupno izborile 38% podpore. Takoj po objavi uradnih rezultatov volitev je Tina Bokučava, vodjo opozicijske stranke Združenje narodnega gibanja, volitve označila za nelegitimne, čemur se je kaj hitro pridružila tudi predsednica države Salome Zurabišvili. Gruzijci so se v odgovor na volilne rezultate množično podali na ulice prestolnice Tbilisi. Volilna komisija pa je zaradi nezadovoljstva ljudstva odredila ponovno štetje glasov v nekaterih volilnih okrožjih. Volilne rezultate za začetek oriše James Bailey, raziskovalec gruzijske zgodovine na Dunajski akademiji znanosti.
The build-up to this election was very much that both the government and the opposition sides were sort of pitching it as a must-win election. And, you know, now it's happened and the results that have come out are being, you know, challenged by the opposition. Broadly speaking, looking at the numbers and the statistics, those challenges are credible. There's a lot that would need to be explained to explain why the outcome of the election, as you know, the Electoral Commission have reported it, looks like that. There's a lot of unexpected aspects to it, to put it gently. So we now have a situation where we've got a very contested situation, and there's various possibilities and routes as to what could happen for that. Whether it ends up escalating or de-escalating is, I think, still very unclear.
Gruzijske sanje so se na oblast prvič pa uspele leta 2012 kot koalicija strank, prvič pa je stranka kot samostojna na volitvah zmagala leta 2016. Stranka si je sicer glede na zadnje parlamentarne volitve leta 2020 zagotovila še večje število stolčkov.
So there are two things that I think are important to say there. One is, it's true that Georgian Dream does still have a significant base, and all expectations in advance of this election were that they would be the largest party in parliament. However, what you would have had to expect going in, looking at the opinion polling available and so on, was that they would not have a majority. So that sort of brings us to part two, which is essentially there appears to have been some fairly wide-scale electoral fraud, particularly in rural areas. So it seems very likely that there have been some areas, particularly in some of the more outlying rural polling stations, where the number of votes cast for Georgian Dream is very difficult to explain other than by there having been people who voted multiple times or moved between polling stations and managed to vote in multiple places. Or similar issues like that. So there certainly is still a base of support for the government, but the election results are extremely good for the government, considering that, and probably sufficiently good for the government that you have to say there's there's something wrong here.
Opozicijo tvorijo stranke Koalicija za spremembe, ki si je zagotovila 19 stavčkov, Združenje narodnega gibanja 16 stavčki, Močna Gruzija 14 stavčki in Za Gruzijo z 12. Razdrobljenost opozicije in zakaj se stranke ne združijo v širšo koalicijo strank, ki bi nastopila proti gruzijskim sanjam, pojasni sogovorec.
Okay, so the opposition is formed now of four main blocks. They've kind of coalesced together in the last year or so, out of even more smaller parties. There are quite good reasons electorally for them not to simply contest the elections as a single block, because they appeal to different segments of the electorate that they might want to take away from Georgian Dream. And also because they have quite different histories and how well they do or don't get on together. It is pretty clear that had it been necessary, any of the opposition parties would have formed a post-election coalition with each other. So as long as none of them were going to fall under the 5% electoral threshold, it's no disadvantage to them to contest as separate parties. And that may allow them to target particular segments of the electorate more effectively. So these four main groups, really, there is the Unity Movement. This is sort of more like the traditional opposition party. They were previously the government before Georgian Dream came to power, along with some smaller allies. There's a group called the Coalition for Change. They're very much a sort of more modernizing party. They're really trying to appeal to younger and more liberal voters. They got very high rates in some of the international polling stations. So, for example, they very clearly won the polling station here in Austria for Georgian citizens living here. There's Strong Georgia, which is a sort of, I suppose, more third way movement. They don't have as much of a traditional attachment either to, you know, Saakashvili and the old opposition or to Georgian Dream. So they perhaps occupy a bit more of a middle position that maybe helps them take voters from Georgian Dream who still, you know, remember the previous government and don't want to go back to that. And then there is For Georgia, which is a much more recent split off from Georgian Dream. So again, that may appeal more to people who tend to trust Georgian Dream a bit more, have liked some of its governments, but now think that they're going too far. So because of this, you have these different segments that, yeah, maybe appeal to different parts of the Georgian electorate and who they feel they can trust and who they want to be part of an opposition government.
Predvolilna kampanja in nastopi opozicije v času pred volitvami so osnovani na ustvarjanju razlike med proruskimi gruzijskimi sanjami in proevropsko opozicijo. Slab teden pred volitvami je v Tbilisiju potekal shod podpornikov Evropske unije, na katerem se je zbralo več kot 10 000 ljudi. Kakšen je dejanski odnos naroda do ene oziroma druge strani, pojasni Bailey.
On the fundamental question of should Georgia be part of the EU, how close should Georgia be to Russia, the vast majority of Georgians are very in favor of joining the European Union and very opposed to increased Russian influence. So Georgian Dream would say that they are not a pro-Russian party and are, you know, and do want Georgia to be part of the European Union. It's just that they're very much, they have been saying one thing and doing another in the last few years. They have been taking legislative actions that have clearly stalled out Georgia's accession path towards the European Union. So from the opposition's perspective, they're there saying, you know, we are going to restart this path towards joining the European Union. Georgian Dream are there saying, well, we haven't said we're abandoning it. The other thing that Georgian Dream has been trying to play very heavily on, though increasingly, is perhaps trying to chop more of a third way path. So Georgian Dream have been trying to say, have been critical quite heavily of some aspects of the European Union in the last year or two. And they've particularly played very heavily on issues around the war in Ukraine. So a major part of the Georgian Dream electoral campaign was literally putting up billboards showing bombed out cities in Ukraine and functioning cities in Georgia side by side on a billboard. And essentially then part of their message was the opposition are going to drag you into a war with Russia. So I think that generally the consensus in Georgia is that they are very anti-Russia and very pro-European Union. But there are a lot of people who understandably are quite scared by the prospect of war. That is one of the things that's propping up Georgian Dream's vote share. So there are fears there, particularly after, of course, Georgia got invaded in 2008 by Russia. So there's still very active memories of that across the country, which in some cases lead people to be much more belligerent towards Russia. In some cases lead people to be much more nervous about getting into that sort of conflict again.
Razhajanja odnosov do Rusije in Evropske unije med vladajočo stranko in njenimi nasprotnicami so vidna zlasti na primeru politik, ki jih sprti strani zagovarjata oziroma sprejemata. Primer tega je zakon o tujih agentih, ki ga je gruzijski parlament sprejel aprila. Prav ta sprememba v zakonodaji je bila razlog, da je Evropski svet zamrznil pristopni proces Gruzije k Evropski uniji.
There is some significance there, although there's also a lot of resentment about some of that significance, and who it's significant to will be very variable. So, I mean, Russian tourism, for example, is a major economic factor for Georgia, but also Russian tourists have a very bad reputation among Georgians. There's, I think, still really a very post-colonial attitude in Russia to Georgia. That a lot of middle-class Russians kind of still see Georgia as something that ought to be in Russia's sphere, and, you know, look down on Georgians to a certain extent because of that. So that is one thing that builds up a lot of resentment. The other economic thing I think to mention is that there's always been a lot of discussion about how heavily certain parts of the sort of Georgian business class are not invested in Russia. That's particularly been a major discussion around the ruling party, which is largely funded by and run by, you know, Bidzina Ivanishvili, who's a, you know, Georgia's only billionaire. So there have always been a lot of questions about how heavily his economic ties to Russia have affected Georgian government policy while he's been in charge. So that's something that, you know, the documents aren't publicly available to know that, but it's always been a question that has hung over the Georgian Dream government.
Sporni zakon zahteva, da se vse nevladne organizacije, ki več kot 20% sredstev prejmejo iz tujine, registrirajo kot organizacije v službi tujih sil. Sprejetje zakona v parlamentu je sprožilo množične proteste, a zakon je kljub temu ostal v veljavi.
This means that the government can keep a register of civil society organizations particularly. So this is something that heavily affects charities, it affects academic institutions very significantly. It affects really the third sector and the kind of public sphere very heavily. It doesn't necessarily immediately impose direct penalties on all of those organizations, but it does potentially give the government and security services a lot more leeway to investigate and indeed to harass groups like that. So it gives a lot of scope for what the government can potentially do without necessarily delineating exactly what it is or isn't supposed to do. This was, I mean, I think very unpopular amongst particularly the sort of middle class elements of the Georgian public and certainly amongst anybody who was more pro-EU. It was very clear from the start of this legislative process that this was going to be a major spanner in the works when it came to trying to move Georgia towards accession to the European Union, and has been widely condemned internationally for exactly that reason. I mean, speaking myself as an academic, laws like this are significantly difficult when it comes to how well we can operate in a country like Georgia, how well we can build collaborations across international borders. But I think for the government, which increasingly has tried to foster a mood of distrust towards any kind of external or international influences, you know, that was in a sense part of the point, that they were trying to push for a situation where they could label various of the organizations, particularly the sorts of organizations that might have called them out on particular policy issues or challenged them in either the legal or public spheres. They had that immediate label ready to hand to say, yes, but these guys are taking some money from abroad, so they count as foreign agents, so you shouldn't listen to them. So there's that kind of, a large part of it, I think, is an attempt to delegitimize these other organizations and other, you know, potential centers of public discourse in the country.
Protesti pa so ulice zajeli tudi po objavi volilnih rezultatov. Zaradi obtožb pomešavanja v volitve je gruzijska volilna komisija odredila ponovno štetje glasov v petih na ključno izbranih volilnih okrožjih, a se je tudi po ponovnem štetju izkazalo, da je zmagala že vladajoča stranka. Predsednica Zarabušvili je izjavila, da je rezultat volitev posledica ruske posebne operacije, kar ruske oblasti kakopak zanikajo. Zakaj je ponovitev štetja le manever za utišanje ljudstva in ne dokaz? So legitimnosti volitev, pojasnjuje sogovorec.
I don't think that the recounts, I don't think that what we're seeing from the various bits of recount and minor investigation that have happened make the results credible. There are significant differences, particularly between the exit polling and the result. And of course, an exit poll isn't always correct. So an exit poll is essentially when you ask people coming out of a polling station how they voted. So this isn't just a regular opinion poll. These are usually far more accurate. But you could expect that they might be 1 or 2% out, maybe 3, 4, even 5% out. The exit poll that was conducted in Georgia by an international company was 13 points out. That's more than 6 times the error that they have ever had doing that in previous election cycles. That's an enormous difference. And I think the distribution of votes across polling stations, again, just doesn't mathematically fit what you would expect under normal circumstances. So I don't think any of the recounting has affected those, you know, very fundamental issues. There are already concerns being raised among the opposition about whether the investigations are going to have proper access to, for example, the election machines, and whether the data have been kept properly. So I think that there are still, you know, enormous issues with this, and it's quite hard to see at this point what happens that would satisfy both sides. I don't think there is a possibility that, and in a sense there wasn't before the election. The government made this election existential from the opposition's perspective, and they knew it was existential for themselves, I think, because, you know, had they lost power, it would have been a very difficult position for them, because all of the things that they have done in recent years while in power could then be investigated by an opposition-controlled government. So and I think it's important to remember the Georgian Dream government went into this election explicitly saying that if they got enough support, they would start banning opposition parties. They particularly said they would try to ban the United National Movement, so the largest, oldest opposition party. But they said that also was referring to all of the opposition generically as the larger United National Movement. So this was a very clear, you know, we win and this is curtains for the opposition style of election campaign. And I think that's meant that things now are at a point where it's very, very difficult for anyone to back down. And I think that makes it quite unpredictable what's going to happen next.
V Gruziji torej na oblasti ostajajo gruzijske sanje, ki vse prej kot izpolnjujejo želje gruzijskega prebivalstva, rešitve iz nočnih mor pa ne ponuja niti opozicija, ki s svojo idealizacijo Evropske unije ni nikakršna alternativa. Kultivator je pripravila Tija.
Ja, kaj pa je to?
Ja, kultivator.
Gre za neko vrsto apatije.
To lahko reče samo kreten, noben drug.
Socialni invalid in ga je nemogoče urejati.
Drugi kandidat.
Pa pije, kadi, masturbira, vse kako ni človeka počeje. Nihče tega ne ve.
Vsak petek skultiviramo dogodek tedna.
Lahko po kriterijih Radio Študent, težko pa po evropskih kriterijih.
Ampak na drug način, kot vi to mislite.
Kultivator vedno užge.
Da pač nekdo sploh omenja probleme, ki so, in da pravzaprav sploh nekdo sproži dogajanje v družbi.
To drži. Drži.